have the new living. Did I tell you a story? A couple months ago, a gentleman came early. He was a visitor, and he asked me this first question. As soon as I answered it, I thought, wrong answer, Pastor D. But he asked me, he says, what version do you read? And I said, well, I personally like the Amplified, but I read just about all different kinds. I really have fun. And I could tell I answered his question wrong. And he didn't come back. Because some people think it's only the King James. And I'm telling you, it's not only the King James. God, if he inspired these guys, he's inspiring men and women to get the word to people. He just wants to get the word to people. Now, you may have one that you don't like. Fine, don't read it. Just read a Bible, okay? Read a good one. But there's lots of good ones. And today I am going to read from the New Living. I grabbed the wrong one. Yeah. Okay, my notes in this. Okay, I'm reading out of the New NIV. I've got this thing. It's okay. Thanks, Mark. And the reason why I'll grab these sometimes, like the Message Bible. Anybody have a Message Bible? All right, I'll grab some of these. I call them easy readers because they're easy to read. And sometimes you're reading these stories and you're going, what? What's going on? And I'll grab this and I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay, so grab an easy reader, all right, and read it. So whatever version I'm reading. I can't believe I grabbed the wrong one. I had Bibles all out. All right, I'm reading out of the NIV this morning. Hallelujah. We're doing a series. This is part 3. What's the name of the series? Oh, you all remember from last week. I was so impressed. Do-over. Right. We're doing a series called Do-Over. And God gives do-overs. Everybody say hallelujah. All right. He gives do-overs. And if you've messed up in an area of your life, the good news is he said he gives do-overs. He gives mercies every morning. So my alarm went off. Actually, it didn't go off. I looked. I'm like, oh, 10 more minutes. That's pretty cool. And then I just started going, God, thank you for this new day. Thank you that it's a do-over. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy that's fresh. My slate is clean, and I'm excited about this day. Thank you, Father, that your favor goes before me and surrounds me, and it's just great. All right, so God gives do-overs. Anybody glad? Oh, man. All right. So we talked about the first week, God does do-overs, and let me think. The reason why God gives do-overs is he wants you to have a greater life. He wants you to have a greater life. And so if you're not too happy with your life, open your eyes and say, God, this is a do-over, and I am receiving a greater life. All right. He's wonderful, wonderful about that. All right, and we found a scripture last week. Kathy called me up. She goes, oh, Pastor D, that was a good one. It was Psalm 65, verse 11. And it says that the new year, God gives the new year to be abundant and glorious and goodness. So the new year is full of abundance and goodness, and it's greater. So, you know, the funny part is every year I say that about the year. So we're finishing up this year, and I'm going, hey, this is the greatest year. But that scripture says even the next year. So I'm already believing God for you guys. Father God, I thank you that the new year, 2014, this people, the people of YCF are going to have a greater year, a do-over year, greater and better, because you want them to have a greater life. I'm praying it over myself. All right, so write that scripture down. It should be on the top of every calendar. Psalm 65, verse 11. God gives a do-over, a greater year. Hallelujah. All right, the other thing we talked about is that, yes, God gives do-overs, but you have a part to play. It doesn't happen by accident. You have to prepare for things. You have to step out on things, and you can't quit. All right, so you have a part to play in the do-over. All right? Okay. Yeah, it's not free. All right. Now, the other thing we talked about is if you're going to have a do-over and take steps, first step, number one, if you didn't get notes, I'll tell you. First step, number one, is you have to put your faith in God. You have to put your faith in somebody greater, not somebody worser than you are. That would be so not smart. right? So you want to put your faith in somebody who's greater. So who do we put our faith in to have a greater life? We put our faith in God. He's the great God. He's the good God. He's a da-da-da-da-da. Okay, get the CDs. All right, today we're going into week three. Open up your Bible to 2 Kings 4. 2 Kings 4. I believe that God wants to do something greater in people's lives here today. If you're here today, say, that's me. I believe that God wants to do something in your heart today. I believe God wants to release things that you have had in your heart. That's what I'm believing today. Anybody want to believe that? Go, oh man, I need to believe that, all right? I believe, all right? Now, interesting part is when you come to church, thank you for coming, it depends on you. How much you want to listen and how much you want to receive. I'm dishing it out. It's like the smorgasbord line. I'm dishing it out. But I'm telling you guys, it depends on you if you're open. So I'm asking you, open your hearts. Don't just say, it's Pastor D, I'm listening. No, say, God, I believe, I'm deciding to open my heart to hear from you. I'm going to receive today in Jesus' name. Okay, so God has greater, and some of it depends on you. All right? All right, now, title of the message. Everybody's going, what's the title? And I was like, I don't know. I'll cook up one until the CDs get downstairs. Title of the message, write this down. Don't give up, don't quit. Don't give up, don't quit. Don't give up and don't quit. All right? Now, on our journey or on our road through life, God has greater things for you, all right? And sometimes the path looks really clear. I just love when I get around these kids in high school, and they're like, you know, I'm going to graduate next year, and I'm going to such and such school, and I'm going to take this major, and I'm going to become this, and then and I'm like, wow, man, they had a clear path. I didn't. But it's fun to get around people like that. But, you know, sometimes the greater life that God has for you is not clear. Some of you are sitting there, yeah, you're right, I'm sitting here. It is not clear, okay? It's not clear. And the second thing is, it's not always easy. To get where God wants you is not always easy. Amen, sister. Good preaching. Hallelujah. Yeah, exciting bunch here. All right. Now, it's real interesting. To get to greater, to put your faith in God, to get to greater is not always easy. And you're going to just trust God. All right? You're going to trust God. All right? And by the way, you're probably going to have a few challenges. So, we're going to talk about two stories in the Bible where they had challenges, big challenges, and where they put their faith in a big God who did something greater, and they didn't quit. Two stories. The first story, 2 Kings 4, starting in chapter 1. The first story is about a woman, and she's in a mess. She's destitute. She's financially got a mess. And what had happened is her husband had passed away, and he'd been a part of the company of prophets. What's another way of calling them? They're a group of men. I didn't know that it was all men. Okay, they're a group of people, and they studied together, and they were called the prophets of God. And her husband was one of them, and he dies. And she's got some problems going. She's destitute because the creditors, this one creditor's come and pounded on her house and said, woman, I'm going to take your kids, I'm going to sell them because you owe money. Anybody have some destitute in their life like that? Wow, I do know people like that, all right? So she's got some problems going on. And she goes to the prophet, the man of God, the biggie, the president. She goes to Elijah. Actually, he was the president of the school of the prophets. Okay, get it, okay? And she goes, hey, Elijah, my husband's dead and the creditors are coming and they're going to take my sons. And he goes, okay, what do you have? What do you have? All right, now. And she goes, what he's really saying is, what do you have that's of value? And she says, I have a jar of oil. I have a jar of oil. Now, okay, I heard that. I'm going to run home. I'm going to open up my cupboard, reach on the top where I keep my olive oil, and I got one jar, and I'm looking at that and going, that's going to excite you? Would that excite you? Come on, girls, you're going to go home and grab this jar of oil. Does that excite you? No, come on, it didn't. And I don't think it did her at that point. Okay, but she followed the man of God's directions. So she goes home, and she says, well, I've got this, and this bottle, this jar of oil, this container, cruet, whatever you want to call it, is going to become her miracle. It's going to become her miracle. And it's interesting, God doesn't care what you have. He really doesn't care what you have. He's just looking to see if you have something to give him that he can make a miracle. By the way, that was good. Write that down. That was good. You need to think on that one. I'm going to say it again. You need to really think on that. All right? God doesn't care what you have. God doesn't care what you have. Okay? He just cares that if you have something, are you willing to give it to him? Are you willing to give it to him? And listen, there's folks, they got big houses and doors that God's allowed in. And then they have doors, you're not allowed in there. All right, so are you willing to give it to God and let him make a miracle? Now, I'm going to ask you, think on that this week. Ah, man, I was going through doors in my house. I was like, oh, really? Okay. Anyway, that's not my message, okay? Here we go. So she has this little jar of oil, and Elisha says, this is what I want you to do before you go home. And start pouring oil, I want you to go to all your neighbors and say, hey, can I borrow some jars? Can I borrow some containers? Do you have anything I can borrow? Gather as many as of them as you can. Gather as many as you can get. Go borrow them, bring them home, and then start pouring. Start pouring. So you know the story? She starts pouring. By the way, her sons are helping him. Side note, train up your kids to help. All right? Okay, that was 2 cents here. All right, so her sons are helping her pour, and she's pouring, and they get another job, and she's pouring, and she gets another jar, and it doesn't run out. She keeps pouring to the next jar, to the next jar, and then what happens? She runs out of jars, and then she runs out of oil. She runs out of jars. She runs out of oil. So, she's like, woohoo, now what do we do? So she goes running back to the man of God, Elijah, and she goes, Elijah, you know what happened? You told me to go do this. I collected all these jars, went back home, started pouring. My boys gave me more jars, and then we ran out of jars, and now, wow. And he says, go sell what you have to pay off your debt. Go sell what you need to pay off your debt, and the rest you can live off of. Like, man, whoa. Kind of reminds you of the story of the birth of Jesus. I'm on a rabbit trail. I'll get back. The birth of Jesus, the wise men come and they give him frankincense, myrrh, and gold. Thank you. That's the other one. I should know that one. And they are able to live off of that for how many years? 2 years, 3 years? They go to Egypt? God give abundance. He gives greater. And she just had to have, what did she have? What did she just have to have? She just had to have something to give God, for God to get involved and do greater. All right? Yeah. All right, that's story number one. Now, what was this story number one? What was this woman's problem? She was destitute. She's got a big financial thing, all right? And what did she need? You can call out today. Money, a miracle. Yeah, she needed a miracle, all right? Now, but what did she do? What was the first thing she did? Oh, God. What was the first thing she did? She went to the man of God. Now, in the Old Testament, the man of God always represented God. So what did she do, really? She went to God. If you need a miracle, point one, where do you go first? God. Not pick up the phone, oh my God. Though I have done that, all right? First thing you do. I don't know why we always say, okay, we pray last. Anybody ever catch themselves? I mean, you're running around and go, oh my gosh, we might as well pray. I catch myself. I'm like, fuck, man. It should be the first thing you do. All right, now some areas I'm just really good, but then I catch myself. Oh my gosh, we might as well pray. Erase that, guys. 2014, do life greater. First thing you do, you go to God, all right? Okay, that was just a free golden nugget. Just write that one down. Okay, story number two starts 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. Second story. All right, now, this lady, all right, one day Elijah went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. All right, so we got this well-to-do woman. That means she can write checks, and she doesn't have to balance her checkbook. That's how I interpret that. That must be fun, all right? She's got plenty. A well-to-do woman, she's got plenty. She has no lack. She has no need. All right, now, you know what this tells me? Now, the thing that's going to happen is she has no needs, but she's about ready to get a miracle. Now, story number one, lady knew she needed a miracle. Story number two, she doesn't know one, that she needs one. She's going to get one. And you know what this also tells me? It's really interesting. They connect these stories. You know, God's so much bigger and smarter than me, and I still don't even understand half the stuff. But God connected these stories. They're right on top of each other, all right? And you know how I'm reading this? Whoa. You may know you need help, a miracle, and you go to God, and then God doesn't care if you don't need, you don't know, and you can still go to God. He's just so wonderful. God is so much bigger. I don't even have to have all the brains to figure out. He's figuring it out, and he loves me. All right. That was kind of silly. I'm sorry. All right, 2 Kings. So this lady, she seems to got plenty of money, and you know what? It also tells me she's got a big heart, because read verse 9. Okay, back to verse 8. So she runs into Elijah, and she urges him to come to her house for a meal. And then it says he stops by there often. So you know what that tells me? She must be a good cook, because he keeps coming back. You don't go back to a yucky restaurant that has terrible food, do you? No. So this, okay, just little thoughts. Just fluff up your Bible interpretation, all right? So he keeps stopping by. In verse 9, she said to her husband, underline, we're going to talk about that guy. She said to her husband, I know this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. And so let's make a small room on the roof, on the rooftop, and put a bed in it and a table and a chair and a lamp. Then he can stay whenever he comes by. So he comes by a lot because the food's good. So he's going to come by again, and then he can just stay. All right? He's going to just stay. So that's what's happening there. And you know what I saw? This is a generous heart. This woman, you know, some people, you think they have so much and they should be generous. Oh, no, I see them get worse. They got so much and they just get stingier. Not this woman. She had a big heart and she was blessing. She wanted to bless the man of God. All right? Now, the second part that happened, she recognized something about him. Now, you can have people, like at a restaurant, that come by every day. You know, I do know some guys that go to a particular restaurant every day for lunch, all right? You can have people that come by every single day, and you don't recognize nothing about them. But she recognized, she said, this is a holy man. His life was noticeable, like us. Our life is notable. We're the light, right? You're the light. All right. So she says, you know, let's bless the man of God. And really what she's saying, let's bless the representative of God. And, you know, you can even take it a little bit farther, Oh, Pastor D, you're stretching it. So what? This is good. Let's bless God. Let's bless God. Right? Could you do that? Can you say that? Okay. Now, verse 11. One day, Elijah came and he went up to his room. You know, the room they made for him. And he laid down. And he said to his servant Gehazi, call that woman. So she came and stood before him. And Elijah said, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now, what can we do for you? Can we speak on behalf of the king? Can we talk to the commander of the army for you? And she's like, no, I got everything I need. My people take care of me. All right, I'm fine. All right, now, what's happening is God's scheming. God is about ready to do something behind the scenes. You know, I say this all the time. I thought, I am doing just like God. But you'll hear me say this all the time. I have plans within plans. Uh-oh, you know, when I ask people things, I go, no, I have plans within those plans. Let me tell you, ask me what the real thing is about. Listen, God, same way. God's scheming. He's got some plans within his plans. Plans that this woman didn't know. Sounds like Jeremiah, plans to prosper you, plans you don't know, good plans, blah, blah, blah. All right? Okay, that's all right. So God's scheming, and he's got plans. Now, it's interesting. His plans are always going to be gooder and greater for your life. But sometimes we close the door on God's plans. Oh, that has been my week. It's really been about 4 weeks I've been working on this. And the Lord pointed out, he said, you've shut some doors. And I'm scheming. You've shut some doors. All right, I'm not going to tell you about me. So what happens if you have came to church today? Thank you all. The daring, the radical. And you came and found your seat, except for I made you move, so sorry. All right, you've sat in your seat, you know, the assigned one that you take every week. And heaven help if someone sits in your seat. Woo! All right, so you've come and you sat in your seat, and you're like, oh, I'm all ready. Pastor D and her rah-rah, encouraging, motivational messages. Yes, I'm just going to come and sit. You know what you do sometimes, though, when you're like that, is you shut the door for God to do something greater. Because you're looking at me, you're listening to me, and you got to come in with a right attitude. Say, God, I'm not shutting the door. All right, now that's just a little example. All right, now this lady, back to our story. By the way, God is scheming all the time. He's got plans within plans. All right, so back to our story. How about let's jump to verse 14, because you know I lost my place. Hold on. Elijah said, what can be done for her? And, you know, she said, nothing, I'm fine. She really shut the door, right? She shut the door. And Gehazi speaks up and he says, you know, Elijah, in case you didn't notice, the woman has no son, no child. Oh, God's scheming now. He's got plans behind plans. All right, Gehazi says, hey, she doesn't have a son. Now, this kind of reminds me of the story of Abraham. He didn't have a son. Sarah's like, what, are you kidding me? The guy's old. I'm old. He's older. But God was scheming. He had plans with the behind plans, all right? But keep your door open, all right? So, if you're taking notes, write this down. The situation looks impossible, but with God, nothing's impossible. The situation looks impossible, but God loves impossible. I don't know, whichever one you want to write down. Just God loves impossible. He's like, I have plans within plans for the impossible. I don't know what you think of God, but you just get big with him, all right? He loves it. And listen, your marriage may look like an impossible. You've got kids so far out there, it looks like impossible. You've got debt up to here, it looks like impossible. God loves your impossible. But don't shut the door on it. All right? Don't shut the door on it. Don't shut the door on God. Okay, verse 15. Then Elijah said to her, Then Elijah said, call the woman. So he called her, and she stood at the doorway, and he said, next time this year you will have a son. Now, next time, woman, at this time of year you're going to have a son. Now, you would think normal people would go, whoa, woo, okay, right? Wouldn't you? Because now we don't know how old she is, but he's old. And it says they didn't have a son. They didn't have a child. So here comes the man of God giving the greater for her. What do you think she should be? Doing the cha-cha dancing happy jig, right? Okay, look what she says. No, my Lord, she objected. No, don't mislead your servant, O man of God. Okay, you think she'd be excited. She wasn't, was she? Okay, now, why? When you read your Bible, ask some questions. Why? Ask questions, and then get quiet, because he'll tell you. Why do you think this woman didn't get excited? Well, she probably had a history of being disappointed. Probably people had said, you're going to have a child, and it didn't work out. I just heard of a friend of a friend. It's actually Joy's friends in California. They've had foster childs, and the last three, they've signed up for the adoption. The adoption goes through to the last second, and it falls apart. And they've had great disappointments. And they probably would be the one that said, no, my Lord, don't disappoint me. No, just leave it alone. Right? Okay, so you can get this woman's heart. She probably has some deep emotions. And you'd go, I get it, girl. You know, sometimes you just like to say, oh, where's your faith confession? And you have to have a compassionate heart. So I think I'm getting older and smarter, and I color my hair every 4 weeks now. and I, you know how older and smarter I am? I go, oh, I understand. I look at people and I go, oh, I understand. I'm not judging them. I'm not saying they're right or wrong. But man, I open up my heart, all right? So that's a side freebie. All right, back to our story. She said, no, no, my Lord. And the translation I'm reading, that's why I pulled it. I object. That's what she's saying. Now, I believe there's people here today. You've had life go and it didn't turn out the way you thought. You even took steps, believe God, and God wants to do greater now and next year. And you say, I object. I have the sign that says no, okay? Now, if you just have a wonderful life, write this down. You'll need this message. Because I went home, I've been working on this a couple weeks, and the Lord started pricking my heart on things that I've shut the door on and said, I object. All right, and I'm slowly opening these doors. All right, but think about the dreams that you have in your life, the visions you have for your life, people in your life, and just ask the Holy Spirit, have I shut the door? Am I saying, I object, God? And God's all the time, always has greater. That's our God. He gives abundantly and greater. All right, so check your doors. Go check your doors. All right, now. The wonderful thing, the good news, is God has this wonderful way of overruling your I object. That's what happened here. He overruled her I object. Okay, now some of you are you already turned me off and you're thinking, Pastor D, God doesn't ever force anything on anybody. Would you just shut your brain down? That was poo-poo out there, okay? Just don't go down those scriptures. I know what you're talking about, but listen. God has a way, because he loves you, with plans within plans behind the scenes, to get in there on the areas you object, because he loves you. He does. He loves you. All right? So you might have said in your life, man, I'm never doing that again. Those people have hurt me. You know what you did? You hung out a sign, and what did it say? I object. All right? But God's going to say, I overrule. I overrule. Picture a courtroom, okay? And God is the judge up here. And the verdicts come up. And you know how these two, I have never been to a real court case, but I watch TV, you know. And I don't want to go to a court case where I'm there either, okay? Ask Jim Cashman. He goes through, he's got stories. You want to hear the favor of God in stories? Oh, my gosh. Okay, but so we're in the courtroom, and you got these guys and these guys, and one says, I object, judge. I object what they said. And you know, the judge, God, turns around, and he goes, overruled. God wants to do that, and God does that in our life. He goes, overruled. And you smile, because that's God. You smile, because that's God, all right? So, back to our story, verse 17. But the woman, okay, so the woman said, verse 16, no, my Lord, but, verse 17, the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elijah told her, right? She got pregnant. And you know why? God's showing he is greater of your, shut the door, I object, and he overrules. That's all that is, all right? Now, I said I wanted to talk about this husband. All right, now, good, there's no kids up here. All right, now, when Elijah came to the house the first time, and the woman urged him to stay and then to have a meal, and she kept coming back, he kept coming back, right? And then God says to the woman, woman, next year this time you're going to have a son. And after she got over her objection, and she probably went home and told her husband, right? Honey, you know that guy who comes all the time that we sit down and we hang out with? We talk with. You know what he said? Woman, next year this time you're going to have a son, all right? And you know what the man hears? Men think differently, girls. You know what this man heard? Yes, sex! No objections! Okay, my face is turning red. I don't care. Okay, no. Really, think about this. He probably didn't have any objections, did he? Guys, this is where you go. Heck no, woman. He's probably, when she's even not even finished the sentence, he's figuring this out. Maybe we're going home. Woo! Right? But the woman had objections. Their problem wasn't that he was old, because it didn't say so. The problem was they just never thought about it, all right? And God wants to get in your thinking. Get back on the page, you guys. Come back here, all right? He wants to get in your thinking. He wants to get in the thinking, all right? Listen, I'm not thinking about the story. Just get your head over here. God, I believe, because we've shut doors in our life, God wants to get you pregnant with your dream again. He wants you to birth the good things that you got, that he dropped in your heart a long time ago. Or maybe he dropped in last week and all hell blew up last week and you said, I quit. I tried. I called that person up and man, I quit. Okay. God wants to get in here. He wants to get behind the scene. All right. So back to our story. Verse 18. You know what? For some of you, God just wants to cheer you on and say, keep going. You are so close. Keep going. All right? I'm not reading mail. I'm just general. Grab it if it's yours, okay? Now, verse 18. The child grew, and one day he went out with his father, who was the reaper. I don't know. Was he a farmer, right? And the little boy said, my head, my head. And the father said, tells the servant, go take her to the mother. So the servant carried the child who's screaming, my head, my head, to the mother. And the boy sat on her lap till noon. And then he died. All right, now. That's not a good way to end a story, is it? Man. And you know, sometimes we have things happen in our life that just die. All right? Dreams, plans, and they die, and we quit. We quit. Now, it's interesting. We quit, and we plan the funeral. You know, the plans that God, the dream that God put in your heart, the marriage that God put in your heart, and it's just getting ugly and ugly, and we plan on divorce, all right? We plan a funeral, all right? Now, not this woman. She didn't plan a funeral. But listen, guys, life is hard, and it's not always a clear path, and there's disappointments, and the plan I wrote didn't turn out the way I wanted, and I'm tired of trying to believe in God, so I quit, and I'm planning a funeral. No, don't do that. Keep your door open. Keep your door open. God always has good plans. He's planning on greater, all right? Now, this woman didn't plan a funeral, did she? No. Smile. Come on. She didn't plan a funeral. I'm trying to figure out what verse I'm on. Okay. You know what? Let me back up. This is usually when the child dies. This is, you know, in life, in situations in life that didn't turn out the way you want it, and it dies. You're looking at it, and it's dead. This is where Christians, especially Christians, they start questioning God. Matter of fact, they get mad at God. They get mad at church. They start questioning, right? And you know what happens? Instead of running to God, they run away. I've been there and done it. Instead of running to God, they run away. And what was the first thing you're supposed to always do? Go to God. Go to God. Listen, if that's you in your life, just do an about face. If you know people that are in that part of their life where they've run from God, pray for them. Ask God if you can give them an encouraging word. Give them my CD. All right? Just do something. But don't run from God. Run to God. Don't run from God. Run to God. All right? So, 2 Kings, verse 21, because I can't remember where I am. All right. So, oh, that's right. Okay. The child died, and when she went up, oh, okay, that's right. The child died, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. She didn't run from God. She ran to God. She ran to God, all right? Then she shut the door and went out, and she called her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and a donkey so that I can go to the man of God." Did she run from God? No, she's running to God again. Good going, woman. Right, good going, all right? I lost my place. Hang on. Shut the door. Okay. So she went up, laid him on the bed, shut the door, went to her husband. "Please give me this so I can go to the man of God." And listen to what her husband says. "Hey, why go to him today? It's not the new moon or the Sabbath." And this is her answer. "It'll be all right. It'll be all right." Now listen, if she was planning the funeral, she wouldn't have said that. She's planning on greater. She's planning on greater. She's a faith woman. She's planning on greater. She's planning on greater. All right? So she saddles up the donkey and said to her servant, "Lead on. Don't slow for me unless I tell you." So she set out and she came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. Praise God. She didn't run, right? Now listen, she didn't quit. And you know, it's really interesting. If you can always find somebody to agree with you. "Oh, you're having such a hard time. I understand. You can quit." Don't go there. Run to God. Only take good advice, uplifting, okay? Right? So she runs. You know what's really cute about her? She's telling her husband, "Don't worry about it, honey. You go back in the field. Everything's going to be all right." And he does. You don't hear anything more about him. All right? So talk about a confident in the wife, in the woman of God. That's pretty cool. Okay, that's free. So if God put a vision in your heart and a dream, you all say this with me, it's going to be all right. Some of you just got to say that. I have a really good friend, and I've known her since my kids were really little, and oh, hell would break out with four kids, and they'd be doing something, and I'd call her up, and she'd go, "D, it's going to be all right." And the reason why I called her up is she had five kids, and they were 10 years older, and I figured she knew what she was talking about. And to this day, I call her up, and she goes, "D, it's going to be all right." But really, I need to run to God and say it myself. Dave, it's going to be all right. All right? You guys, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Now, the next part that happens is she runs to the man of God, and when he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant, Gehazi, look, there's the woman. Run and meet her and ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? And she said, everybody say it with me, everything's all right. Everything's all right. Now you want to go, no, liar. Okay, no. She's running to God. She put her faith in God, and she's declaring, not a funeral, but everything's all right. Everything's all right. So when she reaches the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet, and Gehazi came to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She's in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden, and then he said, but the Lord has hidden from me what was told of me and why. Now, this is her again. You are allowed to go storming into the presence of God if you've been washed in the blood and you're clothed in righteousness. Because the Bible says, come boldly into the throne of grace. And this is what she does. Didn't you tell me? No, better yet. I told you, God, I told you I didn't want this. And you did this. God's not upset you're having one of those conversations with him. Matter of fact, he's probably glad you got boldly in there. All right, now just don't stay there. But, you know, some people, go, just talk to him. All right? All right, so she's up there screaming at Elijah. Did I tell you? Did I tell you not to raise my hopes? And Elijah said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak in and your belt and take my staff and run. And if you meet anybody, don't talk to them. Just lay my staff on the boy's face. Just lay my staff on the boy's face. Okay. In the Old Testament, staff or rod, who do we know that had a staff and a rod in the Old Testament? Moses. And the staff or the rod always is interpreted as the law. Okay, as the law. If you read these Bible scholars, I didn't think this up myself. I just was reading, rabbit trail. But listen, the law, Gehazi runs ahead, puts the rod, the staff on the boy, and nothing happens. Okay, the law couldn't save us. The law didn't do it. We needed Jesus. You need Jesus, right? Jesus is the only thing that will make your life greater. All right? So the law or the rod couldn't bring that boy back, did it? And you know, it's interesting. When life doesn't go the way I want it, it's getting hard, it's not a clear path, and things are falling apart, what do we love to do? Fix it ourselves, right? And we start, well, I'll pray more. I'll make my confessions more. I'll do this. And actually, we start doing law. Now, those are all good things, okay? But we really, what we start doing is we take and we start doing law. We law ourselves. We put law on ourselves. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it this way. And we don't let God go, all right? So don't do that. Run to God and watch what he's going to do, all right? Now, so nothing happens. Gehazi comes running back and he goes, Elijah! No, it didn't work. So Elijah and the woman, and he goes upstairs. He kicks everybody out. He goes upstairs. He lays himself on the body of this child. And they give real graphics, you know, eyes, mouth. Blah, blah, blah. And the thing that happens is the body becomes warm. The body becomes warm. Didn't say it woke up or came alive. The body becomes warm. You know how I read that? God is behind the scenes, and he's working. He's working. All right? Now, he could have quit. Elisha could have said, it didn't work. I'm shutting the door. But God was behind the scenes, and Elisha does it again. He walks around, and he does it again, and the child sneezes 7 times. And he wakes up. He becomes alive again. He didn't wake up. He becomes alive again. Now, numerology, if anybody gets into numerology, I've read just half a page to say, number 7 means God, perfect, complete. So I'm glad he sneezed 7 times. And anybody who hangs around me, I sneeze like at least 7 times, half the time. I start counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I thought, okay, now I know why. All right, silly, okay. God did it. God brought the boy back to life. God did it. God brought the boy back to life. And listen, Jesus is the greater one, and he wants to bring vision and dreams back to life in you, all right? But you have to go to him. You have to put your trust in him. You have to step out. You have to open up doors that you shut and said, I'll never do that again. I tell my kids all the time, remind me never to say that. And I realized I was kind of making my own, remind me never say that. Don't let me act like that. And I was like, God, doors shut. Okay, keep your doors open. Now, write down these 3 things. Here we go. We're going to wrap up. When the greater in your life looks dead, when the dreams for your family, a job, let alone the job, looks dead, when you've got circumstances and situations that look dead, right? Don't just accept it. You know, people go, oh, that's it, faith value. Don't just accept it. Don't just accept it. You know, that's like the I quit throwing the towel thing, all right? Don't just accept it, all right? Number 2, go to God, get to the one who can bring life back to your dream, right? If you're hanging around with a bunch of folk that's just complaining with you and agreeing with you on how bad your life is, get out of there. Go find some good friends. Go get your Bible and find every promise that's going to lift you up and get you to your promise, all right? So get to the one who can bring life. And last, accept nothing but the Word of God. Accept nothing less but the Word of God. Just accept the Word and believe it, all right? That's a good start. 3 points. 1, don't quit. Don't accept it. Don't just accept it. Get to the one who can bring back life and accept nothing than the Word of God. Okay, I have one more example. How many of you know I like football, but I don't really know squat about it? Okay, I just like to watch it. I just like guys smashing each other. I don't know. I just like it, and I really don't need to know all the details. But I found out 2 things, because I was watching football with a family, and I was watching college football. College football has different rules than the big boys. 1, they have a couple of them, okay? I'm going to impress you. Okay, in college football, there's a guy that no one sees, and he's up in a booth. There is one guy in college football that no one sees that's up in the booth. He's a ref, all right? Now, if the call on the field is questionable, now in the NFL, they just play this back. But in college football, they call the guy in the booth to come down. He walks down, turns on his mic, and he said, the call that was made on the field stands. And this side of the stands go, yay! And the rest of them are going, boo! Or this ref, the one that has to come down out of the booth, a very special guy, comes down and he says, the call on the field is overridden. And these guys go, boo! And these guys go, yay! Listen, guys, you have a guy up in heaven that doesn't matter where you are in your life, if it's not the place God has for you, he comes on and he says, overrule! I want to overrule it. I can overrule it. Just open up. Put your faith in me. Get back on your horse, okay? Get back in the Word of God. Get back and let me move in your life. You have a great God, all right? Listen, there's a great year coming. If you don't like the way this is finishing, just make that confession. 2014 is great. It's greater. My God's going to do great things in my life. If your job is the pits, put your faith in a great God to turn it around, the favor of God. If you don't have a job and your county has no jobs, can't you put your faith in God for a greater job? A job, okay? Guys, God has great things. Amen? Amen. All right, just close your eyes for a second. I want you to just you and God time. Hey, Michael, your guys can up there. You and God time. Just put your hand on your heart and say, Lord, I'm opening my heart. Yes, Lord, I have some dreams that they've died. I've actually buried them. But Lord, I put my trust in you. I open my heart and I let you come in to revive the dream, to put life back in my vision. And I know that it'll end greater in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I have a whole hit list for 2014. And anybody that's greater, and if you're not, I have it by faith. You coming along? Thank you. One yes. Send us the kisses, hugs. All right. Listen, guys. God has a whole list for you for 2014 for greater. Are you going to go with him? Yeah. All right. Stand up. We are going to sing. Amen. I love you. See you tonight, too. Thank you. Sure.